Well, the nativity, certainly a Christmas tradition, but obviously there's some things that we've taken for granted that maybe aren't in the text itself. But the nativity isn't supposed to be a reenactment of the exact event. It's supposed to remind us of the different elements of the Christmas story. And that's really what a tradition is all about. A tradition should be reminding us of something of the past, something that God has done in the past and that we look forward to Him continuing to do in the future. Now, Christmas traditions on their own can seem a bit strange. If you just think of the traditions we already have, at least the ones that are the most common, for some odd reason, we trample out into the woods somewhere and cut down a perfectly good living tree and haul it into our houses. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, my mom would holler and scream if there was just one fraction of dirt on my shoes. But somehow it's okay to haul a tree into the living room. And not only that, but then all the breakables, she hangs them on this tree, and then my dad wraps it in an electrical cord. And somehow this is all normal. And then we take our children that we're always trying to protect, and they can't talk to strangers, and they can't go across the street by themselves, and we take them and sit them on some strange man's lap who whispers in their ear. And we're seen to be just fine with this. And then we're okay that this same person is going to bust into our house the next night, and we leave out milk and cookies for them. When you think of our traditions in a step away from being in them, they can seem a little bit odd and a little bit strange. What is the point of a tradition? The point of a tradition is that it is to remind you of something of the past, a way of being, a way of living. Certainly in Christian tradition, it's the things that we remember of what God did, and then we also are looking forward to what He's going to do in the future. But there have been traditions in our world and in different cultures that have been bad traditions, traditions that should be let go of, because they're not traditions that are beneficial for that culture, beneficial to people, or beneficial in our relationship with Jesus. You think of just some of the strange traditions of cultures of the past. Some maybe still have these traditions. But of the geisha girls that are stolen from poor families in Japan, a tradition's a good one to let die. Or when people had an argument, they would duel each other. I think dueling is a good tradition to get rid of. The tradition of eunuchs, or concubinage, or human sacrifice are all traditions that cultures have had that are good traditions to get rid of. But there are traditions that are good, because traditions can help us connect with a truth or a purpose in our lives. It can unite us together. It can bring us together as a people. Our family has a lot of traditions at Christmas time. In fact, it seems to be one of the things my family talks the most about at Christmas time, is the different traditions we have. Some of them to you might just seem like mundane things that we do, but they are done a specific way at a specific time, and if you mess it up, the kids are going to let you know that you did it the wrong way. The tradition says that we're supposed to do it this way or that way. Our Christmas begins the day of Thanksgiving. We kind of have a bit of an issue of anything Christmassy before Thanksgiving. I know that the stores in the mall could care less. I think Halloween is the beginning of their Christmas season, if not earlier. But we don't do anything until the day of Thanksgiving. That morning, we go out and we put lights on the house. And here's a picture from this year. I know you can't see it very well. My son Brad actually put the lights on by himself this year. That was awesome because I didn't have to climb on the roof. Ryan at the top, that's what he generally does, just finds the highest part of the roof, stands on one foot and yells my name. And then for the first time, we had Isaiah on the roof of our house. Yes, that's right. And if you know Isaiah, you know that that was an act of faith. Yes, he survived it. We did too. Then the next day on Friday, that's when things really kick off for us. We bring out the Christmas music at that point. So, you know, Jenny's playing Christmas music in the house. And we head out to a farm near Canton to cut down one of these perfectly good living trees. And here's Casey next to one of the trees that we selected. I always find it funny, and I don't know, maybe you have this experience if you're a tree cutter, but when you walk into the Christmas tree farm, there are beautiful trees right there at the front. But for some reason, we select the tree that's the farthest away. And I tell you, if you take a picture of that one and the one in the front, they look identical. I think there's just something about that we hunted for this tree. But of course, it's the women that get to select the tree, and it's the men that get to cut it down and haul it the mile back to the vehicle. But the night of that night, that's when the parade is downtown, and we always go downtown. We head there early. In fact, if you go downtown at about 5 or 5:30 on that Friday night, you'll see us grouping a chair set up at the corner where the diner's at. That's our chairs. They're one of the first ones that are set up, and we're eating dinner in the diner. And then we come out, and we hang out, and we love that evening. We love it when it's extra cold, because we love it when those hot air balloon guys come by with those torch things, you know, and wave those things at you. If you haven't been a part of that parade, it's a lot of fun. It's part of our tradition. Then, of course, that Saturday as well, we decorate the tree, and certain foods that we eat at that time as well. We do an Advent calendar with little boxes the kids open up, and everyone's got their certain day that they do it. In fact, in our Advent calendar, in those boxes, sometimes you open them up and you'll find a scroll inside. And the scroll, when you unroll it, it says, like, you know, go ice skating or go to the movies or something along those lines. So there's always activities that we're doing together as a family. These are all part of our traditions. We do Christmas cookies. We do these white ones called snowballs. We've got some that come from our Mennonite background, which I'm kind of German Mennonite in my background. We make something called peppernuts, or pfeffernuss is really what I like to call them. They about bust your teeth, but they're delicious. And we make them all together as a family. It's a fun event. Well, the kids cry and whine and complain like I did when I was a kid, but that's part of the fun. Then we do a traditional meal, a Mennonite meal of Veronica. Now, if you've never had Veronica, maybe you've had a pierogi, or maybe you've been down to Freeman and had a cheese pocket. That's pretty much what a Veronica is. I think you kind of have to acquire the taste. The dough's made out of sour cream and flour, and then inside is a farmer's cheese with egg yolk mixed together, and then you boil them, and you serve it with a gravy made from either ham or bacon drippings and condensed milk. Mm-hmm. It's delicious. The next day, you take them and you fry them in butter and you serve them with eggs, which seems to be the favorite for some of my kids. But some hate it, some love it. But if you don't make it, everybody complains, because that's part of our tradition. My daughter also on Christmas Eve always makes a birthday cake for Jesus. She makes a red velvet cake with the cream cheese frosting. Mm-hmm. And we eat that after the Christmas Eve service, which is always a part of our tradition as well, to come to the candlelit Christmas Eve service. And then we get to eat cake just before bed. Kids love that part of it. Then we do the reading of the Christmas story. So it's a picture of me reading the Christmas story out of the scriptures. My Santa hat is kind of a weird one. It says, "Who's your Santa?" on the side of it. For breakfast on Christmas Day, we have another traditional meal called Ebelskivers. If you've never had those before, you have not lived. If you want the recipe, you got to get the special pan for it. But they are delicious. And then that morning of Christmas morning, we do open up gifts in the way of the kids' stockings. But we don't tear into the gifts yet. We didn't open them on Christmas Eve. We don't open them Christmas morning. We do the stockings, then we get ready, then we head to Grandma's house, and we have a nice, long, leisurely lunch. And then after the lunch, we finally open the gifts. And by then, at least two of my kids have peed themselves just in anticipation for the opening of the gifts. Sometimes we get a little bit crabby along the way, too. Yeah, that's my little son, Ryan, when he was young, in his little Christmas fireman sweater. But, yeah, there may be a few tears along the way, but it's part of the experience. What are some of your traditions that you have? Do you have any odd traditions or different kinds of traditions you do? You want to share with everyone? Come on, be bold. Oh, that's right, a lasagna. Anybody else have a lasagna tradition? I know Heidi does, wherever Heidi's at. Yeah, right back here. Anybody do the oyster thing? Oyster stew. What a cool tradition. Yeah. Yeah, that'll make you remember Christmas Eve a few days later. What do you do? Chili, that's a good one. Any other Christmas traditions that are unique or different for you? Bingo. Like, yeah, it's just, you always do that. Bingo. Seriously. That's kind of a cool tradition. Did that happen in your family growing up, or did you guys just start that yourselves? Oh, very cool. I always am interested because sometimes traditions start in our family because we did one thing the kids liked, and the next year they're like, hey, that's our tradition. Okay, I guess it is now. But traditions kind of bring us together. It's something that we do together. It may be very unique to us, but it's something that brings our family together. It's a part of the Christmas season. But there's traditions that we have also that need to point towards Christ. They need to point towards the whole purpose of this Christmas season. And I'm always interested when I talk to Christians about traditions, I sometimes hear a negative connotations as if the Bible thinks badly about traditions. I think that when people say that, they're more talking about traditions that affect theology. In other words, church tradition versus biblical text. But the Bible speaks very clearly about traditions in a very positive way. I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 23. And Leviticus, you might be able to tell by the name of the book itself, is a book that is written as an instruction to the Levites. And the Levites were one of the 12 tribes of Israel. They were the only tribe that didn't get an allotment of land to live on. They were the priests that took care of the worship practices at the temple. And they ate off of the sacrifices that were offered there at the temple. Their provisions came from the people. And they lived there in the temple area. And so they didn't have an allotment of land to go live on. And so this is an instruction to the Levites. The Levites today, you might consider kind of like the pastors in churches today. Some churches still have a parsonage. It's connected to the church. And so, you know, the pastor is there all the time type of deal. I'm still amazed how many kids around here, if you talk to your young ones, they might think I live here. I always think that's kind of funny. Most of them think I also only work on Sunday. Just a good deal if you can get it, I guess. But this passage is about a tradition. It says, starting at verse 4, in addition to the Sabbath, these are the Lord's appointed festivals, the official days for holy assembly that are to be celebrated at their proper times each year. The Lord's Passover begins at sundown on the 14th day of the first month. On the next day, the 15th day of the month, you must begin celebrating the festival of unleavened bread. This festival to the Lord continues for 7 days, and during that time, the bread you eat must be made without yeast. It goes on and on to talk about different festivals and the way these festivals are celebrated. A festival is a tradition that the church and that the people were supposed to keep. The purpose of keeping it was to remember what God had done for them in the past and look forward to what God will do for them in the future. For example, the Passover, which is the first festival that's mentioned there. The Passover was a meal that you sat down to eat that took between 3 and 5 hours, depending on which Jewish family you were in. And there was a book that was read that had all the texts you were supposed to read during this meal, including all of the prayers that were included with it. And everyone had a task to do. Everyone had a role to do, from the parents, from the mother to the father to the children. Everybody had their role in the Passover meal. Every single item of food or beverage in the Passover meal had significance, and before they ate it or drank it, they talked about its significance. For example, one of the things they ate were bitter herbs. Now, nobody liked them. It's not like they put bitter herbs on the plate because everybody liked this. They would eat the bitter herbs, and as they did, they would talk about the bitterness of slavery that God's people found themselves in back in Egypt. And when God rescued them from Egypt, He brought them out of that bitterness. And so they would eat the bitter herbs to remember the suffering of their people, but also to celebrate how God had brought them out and looking forward to God's provision in the future. They would drink different cups during the time. Some of the cups were like called the cup of Elijah, in which they were looking for Elijah to return. Other cups were called like the cup of redemption, in which they would drink it and they would remember God's redemptive work in the past and look forward to God's redemptive work in the future. They would eat bread, but the bread was unleavened. Now, if you don't know what unleavened bread is, leavened bread has yeast in it and it rises. Unleavened bread has no yeast in it, and so it doesn't rise. So Wonder Bread, would that be leavened or unleavened? Leavened, yeah, that's leavened bread. It has yeast in it, and it rises, and it squishes. Saltine crackers? Unleavened, okay? Flat, crisp, hard. Now, they didn't eat unleavened bread because they just liked to eat dry stuff. They ate unleavened bread because it reminded them of how when God did bring them out of slavery, He did it so quickly, there was no time for them to put yeast in their bread and let it rise. So on the run, they had to eat this unleavened bread. And so during this Passover meal, they would eat unleavened bread to remember how quickly God brought them out. And they would look forward to how quickly God would redeem them in the future. Then Jesus comes around many, many years after this Passover is instituted, about 2,000 years ago, and he's doing the Passover meal with his disciples. He did it at least 3 years with them. On the last year that he did the Passover meal with them, we call that the Last Supper because it was the last one of the Passover suppers he celebrated with his disciples. During the Passover, he would have read from the same book and done all the same things that all the other fathers had done as they did this Passover meal. They would have eaten the bitter herbs and had the cup of Elijah. But Jesus took two of those elements. He took the cup of redemption and said that that was his blood, which was poured out for men. And he took the unleavened bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which has been broken for you." And then notice what he says with both the cup and the bread. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this always in remembrance of me." Do this to remember. Do this tradition. And as you do this tradition, remember. And we still celebrate communion today. Now, we don't do the entire Passover meal. We just take two elements of that Passover meal, the bread and the cup. Churches all around the world continue to celebrate communion. Some do it weekly. Some do it monthly. We do it on the fifth Sunday months. We have one coming up just next week on the 30th of December. But it's a time to celebrate what Christ has done for us. We remember back to what he did and we look forward to what he's going to do in the future. So traditions are a good thing. They help us connect with our faith. They help us to connect with each other. Before you do any tradition in your family, aside from maybe the ones that you've created, whether it's eating oyster stew or playing bingo or whatever it might be, think through why you do that specific tradition. And if you believe that that tradition is beneficial for you or not. Let's look at a few of these traditions that we would call the American Christian traditions. First one is, of course, that we celebrate Christmas on December 25th. Is December 25th the birthday of Jesus? It is not. It was probably sometime in April. We have no idea, and people have argued it over the millennia. We certainly know it wasn't December 25th. But I can tell you what December 25th is. December 25th is the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, traditionally. It's actually on the 22nd. By the way, welcome back. You all survived the 21st. Pretty great. Those of you that were hoping not to have to buy for Christmas, too bad for you now. And those of you that are hoping your mother-in-law wouldn't make it, I'm sure she did. On the winter solstice, that's when people would worship the god of the sun. They would have all of these pagan worships they did. It was a drunken, promiscuous, certainly not a godly time. And that's what happens on December 25th, and that's when we celebrate Christmas. And we picked that date for a reason we'll get to in a moment. The Christmas tree. Is a Christmas tree something Christian? The Christmas tree comes out of the exact same pagan traditions of the solstice, in which they would go out and they would cut a perfectly good tree and drag it in the house, and it would be greenery in the house in the time of winter when there was so much death. Then they would adorn the tree with different things. Some would adorn it with crops, the kind of crops they were hoping for in the next year. Others would adorn it with riches of some sort or some kind of item that they were hoping to have the next year. Their belief was if they adorned this tree with this and they did all the rituals just right, that the next year they would have a successful crop or the next year they would have these riches. And that's why they decorated their trees. That tradition has carried on down. In fact, some people don't realize it, but the Bible actually talks about this tradition. It's kind of funny. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 2 through 4, it says, "This is what the Lord says, do not act like other nations who try to read their future in the stars. Don't be afraid of their predictions, even though other nations are terrified by them. Their ways are futile and foolish. They cut down a tree and a craftsman carves an idol. They decorate it with gold and silver, then fasten it securely with a hammer and nail so it won't fall over. It's an adaptation of this same tradition of cutting down a tree and adorning it. And the scriptures say, don't do that. Mistletoe. A lot of us hang mistletoe on our doorpost. Mistletoe was used especially with the Druid priests, ancient Druid priests, that is. They believed that the mistletoe had healing powers. The Romans said that the mistletoe was a symbol of peace. And whenever their soldiers were fighting, if they found themselves fighting under mistletoe, they were to throw down their weapons and embrace their enemy. Isn't that kind of a strange thing to do? I mean, if I was the enemy of Rome, I'd just have mistletoe hanging everywhere. What about holly? In Europe, it was believed that all plants that remained green during the wintertime had magical powers of some sort. They would place holly over their doorways to ward off evil spirits. And they brought all kinds of greenery into the home to kind of ward off the death of winter and show that there was still something of life and alive inside the home. Did you know about these traditions? Do any of these things I've said here cause you maybe to question the use of them in your family? Well, the beauty of the church is that it has always been able to take something that is of an evil origin and use it for good. They've never been afraid to take a pagan tradition of some sort and use it in a good way. Take a look at this video called I Bet You Didn't Know.
Decorating trees, exchanging gifts, and singing songs about Santa Claus. It's what most people think of when they think of Christmas. But for Christians, December 25th has a more important significance. The holiday honors the birth of Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago. But we bet you didn't know that in the early years of Christianity, Christians didn't celebrate Christmas at all. In fact, there is no mention of December 25th in the Bible. Early Christians couldn't even agree on which date Jesus was actually born. It was only in the 3rd century that December 25th became the official celebration of the birth of Jesus, most likely because it coincided with already existing pagan festivals. By the end of the 8th century, Christmas was widely celebrated across Europe. But its pagan roots died hard, and for many centuries people marked the holiday with wild parties, similar to Mardi Gras celebrations. This would lead some religious purists, such as the Puritan settlers of colonial America, to oppose Christmas celebrations. In 1644, the Massachusetts legislature fined anyone who observed Christmas 5 shillings, which was a lot of money at the time. In fact, Christmas as we know it didn't really begin until the 1800s. That's when Germany's Prince Albert brought his country's longtime tradition of decorating evergreen trees to England after his marriage to Queen Victoria. When an image of the royal family next to their 40-foot Christmas tree was published in American magazines in 1848, the custom caught on in the United States as well. The tradition of sending Christmas cards also started in England around the same time. Giving gifts is a relatively old Christmas tradition, with roots going back many centuries. At first, gift-giving had religious significance, to remind people of the gifts brought to baby Jesus by the three kings. But the Industrial Revolution and the rise of advertising in the 19th and 20th centuries made Christmas the commercial holiday it is today, even as it continues to have religious meaning for Christians. What about the most famous of all Christmas characters, Santa Claus? He's actually based on Saint Nicholas of Myra, a Dutch saint famous for giving gifts, who is known as Sinterklaas. In early incarnations, Santa Claus wore many different colors. But after a Coca-Cola ad in the 1930s showed him wearing red and white, the image stuck. From the date of the holiday itself to the traditions associated with it, Christmas has a long and colorful history. We bet you didn't know.
So let's talk about some of those dates. December 25th. True, it was a pagan celebration. But under Pope Julius I, they were making a decision on celebrating Christmas. And though there was a lot of debate on what day it was that Christ was born, The Pope said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pick a time of year, which happened to be December 25th, when even people in the church and others are finding themselves doing all of this pagan kind of stuff that was not good for them. And he said, we're going to take that thing on head on. So we're going to create December 25th as the birth date for our Savior, and we're going to have parties and celebrations that rival those things, but in a good way. And I think it's an amazing testimony to the church that over the years, that they have been able to overcome things like those pagan celebrations, because no one today thinks of December 25th as these pagan celebrations. They think of it as Christmas. And so it was very effective. So December 25th is when we celebrate it. A Christmas tree. Again, yes, it was a pagan kind of a celebration, but it is something that, in fact, I have down here a quote that I want to read to you. It says, the modern Christmas tree was likely born in the 8th century when St. Boniface was converting the Germanic tribes. The tribes worshipped oak trees, decorating them for the winter solstice. But St. Boniface cut down an enormous oak tree that was central to the worship of a particular tribe, but a fir tree grew in its place. The evergreen was offered as a symbol of Christianity, which the newly converted Germans began decorating for Christmas. And the Christmas tree is really a German tradition that has come over from Germany, and that's probably where it began. But these pagan traditions of the past don't connect with our traditions for today. Now, if you're celebrating Christmas on the 25th because of the winter solstice, well, I think you shouldn't do that. If you're bringing a tree in the house and hanging things on it because you hope whatever you hang on it, you'll get more of the next year, I don't think that's a good thing. But those aren't what our traditions are about. Mistletoe hangs in many homes. My mom had mistletoe that hung as you entered her kitchen, and you got accosted every time you went in there. But it is a symbol of peace. It's a symbol of life. And so that's what we think of it as a symbol of peace. Holly, though they hung it in doorways to ward off evil spirits, if you talk about holly today with Christians or with people in the church, and what they talked about over the years is how the leaves of the holly, how it has the thorns on it, is reminding of the crown of thorns that Christ had and the red berries of his blood that was shed for our salvation and forgiveness. You see, the origin of a tradition doesn't have to define it. The reason you do the tradition is what needs to define it. Because God made all that there is, and all of creation can be worshipped to God. God is the creator of it all, and he's the one that deserves our worship. Christmas is a time to remember the birth of our Savior. If our tradition pulls us away from remembering the birth of our Savior, then it's time to change the meaning or the type of tradition we do. And maybe it's time to implement a new tradition. If you have not, if you look at some of your traditions and you say, you know what, we just don't have enough traditions in our family that point towards Christ and his birth. But they seem to be around all these other things of stockings and men in red suits. I want to give you one thing that you can do that will be a major impact. A birthday cake. If you make or buy a birthday cake, stick one candle in it, and on Christmas Eve, sing happy birthday to Jesus, I guarantee there won't be a person in your family or at that gathering that will not know and remember and reflect that the whole purpose of this thing is Jesus' birthday. It's his birthday party. Have you ever been to a birthday party where people didn't sing happy birthday? Then why don't you? It feels a little weird at first. It makes you laugh a little bit. But what a great reminder to kids and to us big kids that the purpose of Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. It's a cool tradition, one that I encourage you to do. This Advent season, we have had 3 weeks, and this is our 4th week. My one candle is a little bit short because I forgot to blow it out last week, and it just burned and burned and burned, and half the wax leaked out, but the first candle of Advent, anyone remember what our first candle was for? Yep, consumerism. To make Christmas not about things and stuff, but to make it about the birth of Christ. The next candle, what was it? Yeah, love other people. That part of Christmas is about love, and we're to love other people. The third candle was very similar to that, but it was loving a certain kind of person. Who was it? Yeah, unbelievers, but especially those people that are hard to love that are in our sphere of influence. You know, your cousin Eddie's, or, you know, you've got a certain person that's just tough to love. The third candle is for really working hard this Christmas season to love those people. And then our candle for today is a candle to make a commitment to make our traditions about Christ, to make sure that we have traditions that focus on Christ, and not just traditions that focus on the consumerism type mentality of Christmas time or the non-religious parts of it that seem to be what everybody highlights, but about making Christmas a time of remembering Christ's birth. And so that's our fourth candle. As we close our service today, we're going to be taking an offering. And the offering that we're going to take is a way that people that are connected here with Hillcrest join us in reaching out and loving our community. If you're visiting today, maybe you're here with family, we don't want you to feel obligated to give just because the plate's coming by. If you're tithing, if you're giving in your own congregation, I want to encourage you to continue to do that. This offering is for those that are a part of Hillcrest that have really joined in together as one to do something great in our community and in our world through our ministries here at Hillcrest. And so I'm going to pray for that offering, and then the ushers will come forward and take it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time of Christmas. And may every one of us here remember you in light of all the peripheral distractions that there can be. For it is your birth that started the road to our salvation. In fact, it's because of your death that we celebrate your birth. And help us to live focused on you this season. Help us to be more like you today than we were yesterday. Help us to be more like you tomorrow than we are today. And we thank you for this opportunity to give. And as we give, we ask that you'll use these gifts to reach people with your hope and your grace and your love. Amen.
And now, a Christmas moment.
You know, this is the time of year where we gather to celebrate the birth of the one called Emmanuel, God with us. And what better place than a local university to ask/discuss what Christmas is all about?
What's the meaning of Christmas?
We celebrate the birth.
Well, don't
of
say
Jesus
we.
Christ.
We don't know each other.
Okay.
No, I'm asking you. What's the meaning of Christmas?
I would assume that it means.
Don't assume.
Okay.
It's to celebrate the birth of Christ and to spend time with your family, and people get a lot of presents.
Right, right. You should have stopped after the first one. Everything after that is just you being greedy. Well, here, come on, scoot on closer.
Okay.
That's a little close.
Okay.
Just give me.
Sorry.
I gotta breathe. What's the deal with it?
The deal with it is, I don't know, it's a holiday. And
I think it's a lot more than that. What's the meaning of Christmas?
The meaning of Christmas.
You know what? Unless you're ready to buy it, let me hold it, okay?
Everybody,
what's the meaning of Christmas?
I celebrate
just, like, okay. I gotta get through this question, buddy. You gotta wait for people to finish. It's a little cold out here to do this 100 times. I am about to freeze to death. You mind if I borrow that?
You wanna borrow this?
Yeah.
Why not?
My hand's about to numb off. Come on. What's the meaning of Christmas?
The meaning of Christmas to me is spending time.
No, not just to you. This isn't always. It's
not
to
about
everybody.
Me.
Not about you. For 5 seconds, please.
Being with your family and just spending time with your family, I guess.
Family, twice. What about you?
Christmas is all about the birth of Christ, family, music, wonderful things like that.
You had me until you said music. I don't care for the Christmas carols. What is the meaning of Christmas? Go ahead.
Well, you know, I think that Christmas is the time to get together with friends and family and enjoy each other's company and give thanks for all our blessings.
All right, when the mic's over here, you're done. What's your favorite Christmas memory?
I think when I was young, maybe about 5, I got a Barbie car, and that was my favorite.
I had the same car.
My family and I used to go out and cut our
own tree. Cut their own tree. Everybody does that. Professor, what's the meaning of Christmas?
Well, it really depends on your perspective. I mean, it originated as a pagan holiday, and the church co-opted it as a as a means of relating to the different cultures?
I got to cut you off right there. Glad I'm not in your class. Already I'm like, can't keep my eyes open.
The meaning of Christmas is...
And our time is up. Man, you got to... We're like, what's the meaning of Christmas?
Jesus, I already said that.
Okay, don't. If you get smart, I'm going to put that. I'm going to launch you. That little. I'm going to. What is the best part of Christmas? I'm trying to make it as simple as possible.
Getting presents.
Wrong.
Being with family.
Wrong. Thank y'all. Merry Christmas. Have a good life.
My family and I went down to the country to cut a Christmas tree from the farm. And it was a really interesting trip because there was just, we got,
hey guys, hey, hey, save it for the dorm, buddy. Hold on, hold that. Come on. No, you do not touch that. That's called cashmere, man. Huh? Do not touch that, pal. So I hope that you know the real meaning of Christmas and that you all have a happy and safe Merry Christmas.
I know I'm guilty for playing that every year, but I love that. Thanks so much. Well, tomorrow again, Christmas Eve, we invite you back. You probably notice the seating's a little different. We're trying to get as many seats in here as we can because it's going to fill up. It starts at 5:30. Be sure you get here early to get a spot. Make sure you get a seat. But bring family, friends, everybody. We're glad to have all you here. Thanks for coming today. God bless and Merry Christmas.